Good morning, Tom. We're doing real well down here in West Frankfort, and it's really good to be back on the show with you, and good to hear your voice.
I tell you, Tim, every time I talk to you, you know, this constant move forward, this relentless pace forward that you've created at Morthland College, it seems like every day you're adding on more students, more bells and whistles. I hear about the sports program. I'm seeing a gelling process from outside looking in, Dr. Morthland.
Well, that's encouraging that there's becoming some infrastructure that can be seen from without. We have a master plan, Tom, that we have been really executing for the last 5 years, particularly in the last 3 years. We believe the education is the underpinning behind everything that we're doing. But beyond that, we believe the college should be fruitful, that it should generate jobs and commerce and business enterprises. And that's some of the master plan that is beginning to unfold over the last 24 months that maybe you speak of and people are beginning to see.
Yeah, well, see, because, I mean, this literally started since I've been with you since the beginning of the story, that people are going, oh, the higher education created a college, gave them the right to, yeah, I mean, people are still on that end of the spectrum, but, you know, the buildings, the staff, the project like Da Vinci, and the fact that, you know, you've just recently been authorized by the State Board of Education for four new degree programs. I mean, first off, four new degree programs, what are they in?
Yeah, that's exciting. We put in place a Bachelor of Arts in Music, Bachelor of Arts in Psychology, Bachelor of Arts in Christian Counseling. We added an MBA, a Master's in Business Administration, and those programs we believe can take us to the next step in education, but then also in our overall master plan in these various fields we'll speak to.
Because what you're hearing here, see, it's interesting because you talk about an MBA, all right? So one of the good things to have, you're going to run a business, you want to have a successful Franklin County, you want to have a bunch of people with these diplomas all over the place, all right? Then you go down the wall here, you've got arts. The first thing I think of is, all right, I see what you're doing. You're achieving balance. This is the way, Dr. Morthland, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'm going to say it out loud. I consider love and lust. Love, right? Lust is what propagates the species, and lust is what propagates the species, and love is what makes the species worth propagating. MBA makes life, and then arts and music makes life worth living.
Yeah, I do. I do see the paradigm, and I think it's important that these type of programs exist, and for exploring the beauty of humanity and God's creation. But at the same time, people have different gifts and different wiring, and we want to give people with those skills opportunity to come and receive a classical and Christian education at Morthland College. Tom, let me just touch on this master plan. We have the education. It's the main pinion, but we believe that we're driving four additional cogs: healthcare, agriculture, manufacturing, and energy. And so about 3 years ago, we deployed the healthcare cog with clinics in Southern Illinois and hospitalist services. And so that's Morthland College Health Services. That's Morthland College Specialist Physicians. And that embodies our regional clinic and our overall master plan for a new hospital in Franklin County. And we continue to work towards that weekly. And then you've spoken to Da Vinci. We have the manufacturing cog. I want to see manufacturing jobs in Franklin County. And so Da Vinci Beverages represents a very worthy a product. It's a cognitive drink. It's an energy drink that enhances mental function and produces vitality. Those long hours of study, those times of creative moments when we have an aha moment. But this is a consumable, and it can be created here in Franklin County. And we want to bring that manufacturing home. Currently, we're producing it on the East Coast, and we run a distribution center here. But we have taken the first very big steps towards developing manufacturing here in the county. And so those are two examples where those. So we have three cogs in place now: education, healthcare, and manufacturing. And very quickly, we are deploying the agricultural cog. We are working very closely with the city to create 12-month year-round organic greenhouse farming in the community, where we have a farm-to-table, a farm-to-market concept, where we can employ local people who want to come and work, or people who have a love for agriculture, and then create community around food. And you and I both know that food creates community. And so those cogs are on the ground and moving, and or very close to being deployed.
You know, it's interesting.
Lastly, the energy project. So go ahead, Tom.
Because you're using the word cogs. And what I'm hearing is Socrates and the three pillars of the academy.
Yes, yes. And, well, to step back, I mean, philosophically, the academy harbors knowledge. It discovers and then disseminates knowledge.
Right. And then it serves the community.
It really does, Tom. And it should be active. It should be alive.
The learning, discovering new things, teaching the public, and then helping the whole. Because when you look at this, I mean, it's because you use the word master plan, and this is a word I would have used before you and I spoke today. I'm watching what you're doing in the health community, what you're trying to do, always trying to move forward, and there's always people that have different thoughts. So you've been persistent professional moving forward there. You've created a concept to bring people from everywhere, to come in. I never heard you say, look, we don't have a state budget. We don't know what we're going to do the coming year. Then you start talking about agriculture and energy. So energy to drive the tractor, energy to help build manufacturing, and then how you're trying to start a manufacturing, and then MBAs. It looks like you're trying to take Franklin and build a tower. I just don't know what to set the top of it. Do you?
Well, I understand. I want to see Franklin County as a healthy, vital community with a strong ethical base, with a strong educational base, to improve our lifespan. We know that people in this county have at least a 5-year shorter lifespan than those in other counties. It's an underserved population for health care. Let me step back. In 1905, before energy hit Franklin County, West Franklin was a small community, around 500 people. But then when coal hit, we went to 20,000 within 5 years, 20,000 people. And so energy, I've been looking at energy very closely. My background is in engineering, and so we are looking closely at how we can deploy energy at some level within the county, whether it be through natural resources or adaptive technologies. And so that's in the planning stages now, and we want to be a part of that commerce, that commodity, and that engine that drives an economy.
And then agriculture, which is an excellent companion. I mean, when I was a kid, my parents were giving me guidance on what to do whenever I grew up, and they said, look, son, join the Army. People are always going to kill each other. Son, won't you work in grocery and food? People are always going to eat. Won't you become a mortician? People are always going to die. It's weird how people think about this in these fundamental things, because when you think about agriculture, it's always going to be there. It's a great resource. It's a renewable resource. It plays into energy, and it plays right into your wheelhouse. You look for the strengths and then niches, and then you've started to build on top of those to try to address those issues. And anybody doesn't see that energy is a moving target with incredible promise is just not paying attention.
Oh, right. Renewable energy and so on. And Tom, in the backdrop here, there's an additional paradigm that these individual fields, healthcare, agriculture, manufacturing, energy, create a critical mass of academicians,
right,
who come in and want to be part of that, and then they end up having dual appointments within the pinion, the education, and they teach. A lot of our physicians teach within our college, and people in manufacturing, some of our MBAs right now who are helping develop the economic models and so on with Da Vinci and our e-commerce sector. They instruct within the college. We have people with masters in computer science in our computer engineering division who teach in the college and are also supporting the information technology division. So all these things are like this volley between the business sector and then the college sector, and they work together. And
the way it was meant to. Dr. Morthland, the way it was meant to do, because you got that, some people at universities get this ivory tower mentality, apart, What you're talking about is a educational program that's deeply ingrained in the community itself. Even by the way you do business in the community, you're out in it. It's not just one place off in the corner behind a brick ivy wall. You're out in the community.
That's exactly right. And so much of the marching orders, much of the dialogue with our with Morton College and the guilds, we call these the guilds, is that we are to turn and efface. We are to not look within the academy. We are to look without and to serve the community and to build enterprise. And when I see that ivory tower going up, Tom, I usually take a sledgehammer and right. begin breaking it down. I said, no, you be creative here. You instruct and you develop T2 research, translational development research, and you get out there and serve the community and build enterprise.
Right.
And so it is intentioned at Morton College and within these guilds.
Now, here's the thing, Dr. Morton. So many people, whenever I'm talking about you with members of the community, with friends and neighbors, they say, how do they afford to do that? How can they afford to be doing the things they're doing? How much money are they spending? I assume you hear this in one tone or another.
Oh, I do. I hear, and I can say that money is usually not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is having the right people in the right place. And when that happens, and when there's a virtuous vision and a viable vision, things happen and things come together. But it's finding the right person to put in the right place and with the right motivations. And when that happens, we see incredible things begin to occur. And, you know, there's a faith-based mission here. And that's a big part of what we do. We want to serve the community with that overall Christ-like mission. And so we believe that that's a big part of it. But, yes, it takes money. And we have a team of people watching the resources daily. And we have planning, you know, in place at the college for looking towards a field house project over the next year. We
right.
are very close to hitting critical mass there, Tom.
Good.
And so on. But money, it does take money, and I do think about it. But these guilds help support the college, Tom.
Right. No state money from in Morton College?
No. We have federal student aid, of course. The students come in, and if they need resources, they're able to pull down Pell and direct indirect loans and so on. But no, we do not get the state subsidy coming in, and I understand when the state subsidy goes down what the presidents think at these state colleges, but no, we don't have that. And so it in part forces or demands creativity within the enterprise zones. We need monies moving through this and flowing from other commerces like e-commerce and energy and agriculture and manufacturing and healthcare. They all come together as a very strong cord. And together they can be very harmonic.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned this harmonic issue because you know this standard wall brick mortar. You go to school, your desk, and the teacher's up at the front. You know the universities I've seen that seem to struggle the most are the ones who didn't go to online degree programs early enough.
Oh, that's exactly right. I was at a conference out in Phoenix this last year, and it became very clear when I spoke with other presidents. That the online education is a very important facet of the overall economic engine of the university today, and to ignore that is tantamount to the university closing, and so that's been a challenge because the purist of the ivory tower concept is no, these are the walls, they come to us, they're educated, and we send them out. Well, that is a prescription for death for the college in today's culture.
Right.
We have to engage distance learning.
Yeah, and it's expected with the group that you're coming into. That's just a given. If you're not online, there's something wrong with you, and I don't want to go. There's this new crop of college students everybody, and it's been said since the beginning of time. These new kids, they said it about you and I at some point, Dr. Morton. Well, they said it about me. I'm not sure about you, Chief. But are they different? Are these students different?
The students at Morton College or the distance learning students?
The new student period, whether online or in class, are we talking about people that are fundamental? I mean, I'm reading this weekend about sports teams, leagues saying maybe we should shorten the game. The attention span of the millennials is short. It's manifesting itself in different interesting ways.
They are students. They are different way. When I went to college, I mean, and I may have been wired slightly differently. I was there for primarily education, and students today are looking for added experience. They come in and they're shopping. They're looking. Am I going to be able to express my gift? Perhaps it might be athletics, because they love athletics and that's part of our culture. And then, or am I going to have internship possibilities? And we can we offer that. Many of our students are working within our guild enterprises, the ones we mentioned, and so they're more of a consumer, and we see them that way, and that is a much different philosophy of the student today than I saw 20 years ago.
Well, it's interesting because that Christian component, I can literally tell you, setting among family members where an aunt says to one of my cousins, you're not going to school there because they don't observe Christianity, you know, and we're talking not about Northland College, about where that person was going to go when they went to college, and they were going to pick someone that honored their Christian values and traditions, and that was no easy task, but now there's Northland College. So in the marketplace, with Christianity being, in some cases, marginalized, I guess is the most politically correct term I can find, that people will go out seeking your service now, whereas maybe before they might not so much. But this has become an issue in the community.
It has. And you know, it's said up to 80% of students who go to college lose their faith while at college. And that's a very shocking and alarming statistic. And so, you know, first and foremost, as a parent who may have raised their kids in the Christian faith, I would like to see that faith, one, preserved, and two, enhanced, and their journey in Christ would grow. But secondly, you know, they need to leave as producers and leaders, servant leaders to their community, to be light to their community. And that's what we teach at MCs, like, you know, your faith is alive. Your education, your knowledge is alive. You should be a producer. You should be a servant to the community. It's very community-oriented. And so we are trying to produce a student with a complete package, and it's a challenge. Tom, some of these kids come in, and they're maybe not have the strongest educational base. We require a higher ACT to come into our school at 20. But we take some very raw students and bring them through educationally, through spiritual formation, through community service. And we see marked changes in these young men and women who come through, and that is exciting. That when I wake up each morning and that happens and I see it, I think it's worth it. All of this is worth it to see that play out.
Dr. Walter Windler once told me he had gone to a conference, another college, and he'd walked into the restroom at the restaurant they were in, and somebody on the wall had written, I came to this university and I paid $160,000, and all they did was change the way I think.
Right, and that is I think that's a very sad statement, and I don't know that that's entirely true. Perhaps that student didn't engage in the wonderful services offered at SIU. Right. There's some very fine people with, a leadership that see it differently.
Yeah. Well, my thought is that's why I pay $160,000. I want the way I change it. Maybe more efficient, maybe smarter, better facts. You know, it's an interesting proposition. Dr. Morthland, I'm sorry I took so much of your time, but I do appreciate every second of it.
Well, ideas are powerful, Tom, and
they
I
are.
Think to think differently is powerful. But thank you for having me this morning.
Well, you know, it's because every time I talk to you, I love this because you really are, to me, first off, I hear a kindred spirit that every time you talk about education, the way you talk about it, it's the way I think about it now, and I get excited. I'm thinking, boy, you know what? If we could do this and this and this, if you know we had the research project, imagine we could make a water closet where you pour 10 gallons of water in, the weight of the water would pressurize it, it would cause it to clean itself, and you could take this water closet anywhere and put a gallon of water in it, and a gallon drinkable water would come out. Little
That's
tiny
wonderful.
Ideas that you can grow and build every day, and you are right there at the center of it, and good luck with every second of it.